Hello and welcome to the Catalyst Podcast. My name is Ken Vallady, partner and co-founder at Progressive, and this is a podcast series about the power of startup corporate partnerships and how, if carefully managed, they can become a true catalyst for change for the future. Every episode, I will interview either a startup founder or an industry leader who have experienced the benefits of these partnerships firsthand and are willing to discuss and share their key learnings and insights. This week, I'm really pleased to be speaking to Daniel Martino Corbishley, who is the co-founder and CEO at Aura Vision. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
No problem at all. So to kick off, are you okay to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and Aura Vision?
To kick off with, Aura Vision helps retailers increase sales and profitability of their physical stores using cutting-edge AI technology. So essentially, we have a plug-and-play solution that brings e-commerce style analytics into the physical store environment. So say you're a retailer with 1,000 locations around the world. Up until now, it's been really tricky to know everything that's happening in your stores 24/7 and what's actually affecting sales performance. What we've done is we've built a solution that installs in 15 minutes and it uses the existing security cameras in the store. So retailers don't have to install lots of sensors. They can get this up and running in thousands of locations very, very quickly. And the reason we're able to do this is because we've developed this proprietary computer vision technology off the back of my PhD and my team, my co-founder's PhDs in computer vision and machine learning. So that's actually how we started the business, was at the University of Southampton. Jaime Lamelli and myself had the same PhD supervisors in computer vision. Fantastic guy called Professor Mark Nixon. We kind of took the insights and the technology that we'd learned through our PhDs and research and applied it to commercial environments and security cameras to really drive value for physical spaces. And we've landed on retail, and retail is a very prolific space that has security cameras and is in desperate need of more insights to drive sales. So earlier last year, we were part of a world famous accelerator called Y Combinator, which is based in Silicon Valley. So we went out there for a few months, built up our investor and our prospect network in the US. And now we're working with some of the largest retailers all over the world.
So focusing now on the whole area of the startup corporate partnership, Daniel, what companies or what type of companies have you already worked with?
Yeah, so the biggest name that we can shout about right now is ASICS, the Japanese sportswear brand. So they're best known for their trainers, but they actually do all sorts of apparel. So we're deployed with them in the US and Japan. And one of the driving factors for ASICS was that our machine learning models work across all geographies. So we're not using facial recognition and we're not relying on getting demographics from just one nationality. We can actually work this in Japan, in Asia, and in the West, in the US. We work with retailers in all sectors. So we're looking at a lot of our largest clients are UK telecommunications retailers. We're working with large furniture and apparel brands, one of which you actually introduced us to, Ken, back in the day. Some of the more interesting ones are like experiential retailers and new style retailing concepts where the retailers are trying to share data back to the brands that they're hosting. We're also moving into the mall space. So we're now deployed in some strip malls in the US and expanding in that sector as well.
Wow. And that's all in the space of, what, 2 to 3 years?
Almost exactly 3 years now when we kind of first came up with the concept in Southampton, incorporated the company. We've been actively selling the product now for around 2 years.
That's really impressive, Daniel. We're over such a short period of time getting some really key partnerships under your belt. The question I have is, have you seen those relationships develop? Have you found that the corporate mindset of your partner changes over the period of the whole partnership itself?
Yeah, certainly. I think in the early days, we were lucky enough to be able to work with retailers that were very open-minded, looking for the latest and greatest, and were extremely patient with working with a very early stage company. Now we're a bit more established. We're able to go in, we know and understand their needs very clearly and are able to articulate that from day one. So we're able to go in and say, look, this is what we think you need. What is the big vision for this project? And what is it that you'd like to achieve from this as a grand vision for this project, rather than just looking at like a small short-term pilot or something like that?
Question I'd like to ask, Daniel, is, you know, how do you believe your USA experience, you know, the Y Combinator experience, did that help you when it came to building partnerships with corporates?
Yeah, absolutely. Going to the US, going to Silicon Valley and joining Y Combinator was a really pivotal moment in the evolution of our business. really Y Combinator is focused on fundraising and investment and not so much, you know, building client base. But they do drill into, you know, the importance of sales and how to approach this a little bit. Really, for us, the value was having ASICs, for example, actually invest in us as a business first and foremost, which then opened the door to getting those international deployments with them. But actually, on the flip side as well, we started building our US prospect network and started working with up-and-coming US retailers that had some very prominent or have very prominent US investors, which we're hoping will open the door to those investors in the future, as they'll see that we're working with one of their star childs, and this will be like another route to gaining future investment and growing our network.
Excellent. And you know, on the subject of this podcast, you know, the whole partnership thing with startups and corporates, in your short but very, very impressive experience of these partnerships, do you feel that there's something that corporates could do differently when they approach these partnerships? You know, what advice would you have for corporates? What's been your biggest learning for a corporate coming into this relationship?
What we found is that corporates are either in one of two states. They're either in that kind of very early discovery, just researching the space and, you know, looking to find the latest and greatest. And that's a space where we can come in and we can educate the corporates on what the possibilities are, but there's not necessarily a direct sale about to happen there. Whereas there's the other state where corporate has internally identified exactly what it is they want, and we can hone in on that and actually deliver a solution there. And both of those, you know, it takes relationship building to go from kind of state one to state two. And that's just a matter of time. So it could be a period of 3 or 6 months even between that very first call where we're just explaining the space, explaining what it is we do. And then the corporate's gone away, they've identified what it is they need, and we can come back and be like, yes, this is exactly what we're going to deliver to you.
To be fair, I would like to flip the question and say, what do you believe are the key areas where startups need to improve and change in as the relationship goes on?
Yeah, I think as a startup evolves and matures, you're able to map out that process and what it looks like for the corporate. And I think it's especially in this space that we're in where we're doing enterprise sales. This is not, you know, B2C or B2B where you have lots of small sales going through. It's fewer, larger, slightly more complex sales, and being able to map out that process from start to finish from day one for the corporate is really important to show them, you know, where we are on this journey, what we need from you as a corporate, and what we are going to be able to deliver to you as a startup.
So Daniel, another question I have for you is, taking into account the great success you've achieved so far, do you feel this is now becoming a bit of the norm? Are more and more startups working now with corporates and both benefiting from this partnership? Or do you feel that it's still more often the case that these partnerships should but do not happen? Where do you sit on that one? And if you feel that it's not as frequent as it should be, why do you think that is?
Yeah, Ken, I'm really optimistic about the pace of opportunities between startups and corporates. We're seeing more and more come through, and corporates seem to be more open to work with startups as lots of programs and networks around. There's obviously the current climate is in some regards dampening opportunities, but in others allowing people to really look to the future and starting to initiate projects that are going to be coming to fruition in a few months' time. So actually very excited about that, particularly in the retail space. I think the one area we're seeing less activity is with more traditional, like non-technical retailers. They're the ones that are still taking some time to get up to speed, whereas telecommunications retailers and new style retailing concepts have already jumped on this kind of startup project bandwagon. So it's interesting how different sectors are getting up to speed at different rates. So I think there's many, many more opportunities to come.
On the back of that, Daniel, I'd like to ask you two questions, if I may. The first question is, taking into account everything you've just gone through, what's the key learning that you have got from that, you being a successful startup 3 to 4 years into your journey? What's the key learning that you have got? And the big question I would throw in as number two is, if we have some corporate listeners now to this podcast, what would you say is the key benefit of working with a startup for a corporate?
So I think to start with the second question, that the key benefit of working with a startup is that you're going to get 110% from that startup. If you're a large corporate, you've got a clear problem and you've got an excited startup willing to solve that problem for you, you are going to get absolutely everything from them. And they're going to be extremely excited to work with you and make sure they're crafting a solution that's solving all of your needs and use cases. I think a key learning is that, you know, identifying that end goal as early as possible is really, really crucial to the success of the project, the success of scaling up that project. And I think for corporates to be very open about what their internal challenges are and what they're actually looking for from the project, rather than being cloak and dagger about it. I think, you know, being able to have that open relationship at an early stage is a really crucial foundation for building a solid, strong partnership into the future.
Thanks, Daniel. It's been really great having a conversation with you. And I really feel from your experience so far and your learnings from working with big corporations across many different sectors that there is so much potential to be had when a really great startup and, you know, a really innovative thinking corporate come together. And it's really refreshing to hear from you the journey you've gone on, what you've learned, and more importantly, or as importantly, what the corporations or the companies you work with learn as they go through this as well. It's not a one-way thing. It's definitely a two-way relationship. And from your answers earlier, this relationship, like most, will evolve over time, and the good ones will evolve in a good way over time and will be, as I mentioned at the start of the show, a real catalyst for change. So I really appreciate your honesty, Daniel. I really appreciate your insight. And most importantly, I really appreciate the time you've put out to share that with our listeners. Thank you very much. Welcome to the part of the show where we look to answer a question from one of our listeners. This week, we have a question from Spike, who is a founder from East London. Spike's question is, what are your views on undertaking a free trial with a corporate? Is it a successful door-opening strategy? Now, before I pass this over to you, Daniel, this is a big question. It's a question that I've been asked many a time. It's a question I have, you know, quite strong views on. And it's the question that doesn't seem to go away. So what's your view, Daniel, on the whole free trial option?
Absolutely. No, it's a huge question. And it's something that we really wrangled with, I would say, for the first year to nail down what a free trial looks like. Should we be offering them? Should we be charging up front before we even have a conversation? You know, all of these questions. And actually, I'm quite proud to say that I think we've settled on what seems to be a very successful solution to this kind of challenging question. So essentially, when we're discussing what our product can do, we always offer a free trial on the very first call to just say, look, this is an extremely easy product to set up. This is a 15-minute install job. You don't need to put loads of sensors in your store. To prove that, just send us a little bit of video from your store, just 2 or 3 hours from, say, like an entrance camera, and we can create a bespoke dashboard from that footage for absolutely for free. And then we're getting a tangible feedback, like, this is what it's going to look like. This is a small snapshot of what we can actually deliver to you at scale. And then that inevitably opens the door to, all right, let's do this. Let's run this live and let's get this installed. And then obviously we can progress the commercial side of the conversation.
How successful has that strategy been for you? What's the kind of conversion rate from offering up a free trial with those conditions? What percentage of clients, corporates will say, yes, we'll do it?
I would say it's extremely high. I think we're in the 80 to 90% conversion rate on that. And, you know, it's good because there's a little bit of commitment from their side. They've got to go away. They've got to actually go and source that video, find it from one of their stores and get it over to us, which indicates a little bit of commitment. And it's a really good way to just test the waters and start building that relationship before anyone's committed to anything too serious and delivering a little bit of value out of that as well.
So that's a really interesting point about commitment, because the worry I have sometimes, my own personal view with offering a free trial, is there is a danger that the company, the corporate, doesn't have any skin in the game. However, if you can get away with offering a free trial but getting some kind of commitment, be it a physical commitment or a time commitment, then I think you kind of get the best of both worlds in. So you do get that free trial option. It's a very good Trojan horse, should we say, to get in. And at the same time, you are getting some commitment from their part. So very interesting. I think we initially, before we got that question, we may have different views, but I really, really like the approach you use there, which is for them to get the benefit of the free trial, they will have to do something. They can't just go away and then have a meeting with you in a month's time and say, What was your name again? What were you going to do for us? They know what you're doing because they've had to put themselves out to enable that trial.
Yeah, it's a lot more powerful than just a pitch deck as well, because you're actually seeing something tangible from one of your own locations and actually getting that feedback, which is always a lot more exciting than a few pictures in the deck.
Brilliant. That's really good. Really good answer. And we could discuss that. We could have a whole podcast on the free trial, but we'll leave it there. If anyone has a question they'd like to ask, please email me at ken@thisisprogressive.com. And each episode, we will look to pick 1 to 2 questions to discuss live with our chosen guest. Thank you very much again for your time today, Daniel.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure to be here and really enjoyed the conversation.
So, if you want to contact Daniel and find out more about Aura Vision, full details can be found in the notes of this episode. That's it for this episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to this series and please rate us and leave a review on your chosen podcast platform. All contributions are very much appreciated. Thank you.